I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, freelance editor Nick Charles, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and political science professor Lester Spence. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Yo, fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop. How are we living?
Hey, what's cracking?
How are you doing?
Man, you know what? President-elect Barack Obama, he was holding a press conference to name his latest pick for his team, but he had to address the whole Senate seat scandal unfolding in Chi-Town, and here you thought the Republicans had a patent on chicanery. Now, yo, check it out. Your boy, Blagojevich.
I'm sorry, just for the record, I didn't think that.
Okay.
And it's Blagojevich. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Governor Rod Blagojevich, you know, he's facing allegations he was trying to sell or barter the Senate seat like it was on eBay to the highest bidder. And we got some tape. Is that right?
The context for this was that the president-elect's been relatively tight-lipped about this. But yesterday, he had already previously scheduled press conference to announce his choice for the Secretary of Health and Human Services, but of course he had to talk about this, and this is a little bit of what he said.
I have never spoken to the governor on this subject. I am confident that no representatives of mine would have any part of any deals related to this seat. I think the materials released by the U.S. attorney reflect that fact.
A-Train, my man.
Well, he talks about the fact that, during this time where Governor Rod Blagojevich was essentially, you know, scheming in a pay-to-play political scheme where he was trying to gain some sort of cash contributions or some cushy high-level position, he had made overtures to several Senate candidates on what they would potentially offer if they were given the Illinois Senate seat.
And when he was quoted as having approached the Obama people, or have, at least in reference to the Obama
right.
folks, he said, he was quoted on this wiretap as saying what?
Well, basically that, you know, every overture he made to the Obama campaign was basically, he wasn't getting anything out of them except appreciation. And so, you know, that shows that the Obama camp probably didn't have anything to do with the situation, which is why, you know, the president-elect and his campaign are not a part of the investigation.
Oh, he's a little more colorful than that, Arsalan.
Well,
what
I was going to say, you know, thing is, you know, I'm glad we have the Redunculus Awards of the week because Blagojevich gets it hands down. And I call him Bleepovich because there were so many bleeps in the bleeping manuscript that, you know, just the brazenness and vulgarity of what he was doing. I mean, for all of us Illini who are from Chicago, it's sad to see, you know, unfortunately, that this is the dirty part of Chicago politics, and Rod Blagojevich gets the golden toilet of the Redunculus Award.
My man needed a hustle, man, and I feel his pain, but it seems like he just could have sold chicken dinners or maybe some bootleg DVDs. My man just went all the way out there. That's so deep. You know what, A-Train, you're not getting off that easily, though, bro. How could Obama not know anything about this, man? Does anybody else buy that?
Don't buy it at all.
Nick, get it.
Come on, man. You know, you're talking about this of Chicago politics. This is politics, period. And, you know, Obama got on TV, and, as you know, the halo had been gone maybe during the campaign, but definitely now he's no longer walking on water because he's been brought down to earth by the reality of politics.
Wait a minute. Are you saying – I think you need to be really clear about what you're saying here. I don't think he had knowledge of the illegal deal that Blagojevich is trying to get,
but he knew this guy was crooked. This guy's been under investigation
right,
for how many years
right.
now?
Well, I'm sorry. Did he have some choices here? He's the elected governor of the
right.
state.
I mean,
it is his sole authority under the law to fill that seat. So I guess what I'm curious about is, what do you think he should have done?
I think there could have been a lot more distancing between himself and Blagojevich during the campaign. That's one, because all it keeps showing is photographs of both of them together smiling.
Right.
That's one. Two, there's nothing that ties Obama or anybody who is, you know, frontline in his campaign to what Blagojevich was trying to do. But at the same time, as I said, this guy's been under investigation for 5 years, not 5 minutes.
L. Spence?
In Obama's press conference, what he talked about was that this was kind of the extreme of politics as a business. And I think the governor from Illinois, he is the extreme, but this type of thing is relatively normal. It's just that this guy used the most ghetto way of trying to get paid off of it. I mean, but this type of deal has been going on for a long time.
Right.
I mean, it's this type of, once you have the language of the market bleed into politics, this is the natural and most extreme result.
That's a good point, well made, bro. I want to get to Jesse Jackson Jr. now. You know, I'm hard on the Jacksons, but I wonder what the future holds for this young brother. I wonder Is he tainted, or can he skate out of this? L. Spence.
He keeps a seat as a congressman until he doesn't want to run anymore, but he's foreclosed.
Do you think he'll ever see a Senate seat?
Nah, he can't run for Senate now.
His ambitions for high office, no. His ambitions for high office are dead.
So he's that's a wrap?
Yeah. It doesn't even, really? Even if he doesn't, it comes out that he had no knowledge, didn't offer. His ambitions for governorship, for senator seat, for anything beyond what he's holding right now, and as lesser sense if he wants to run again. But beyond that, it's a done deal, because definitely now he's not going to get that Senate seat. So that's a start there.
But what if it's a special election?
Yeah, well, and what I was thinking about with the special election is, what are the rules that you're going to set? Does it have to be a Democrat that's going to be elected? Is it going to be only registered Democrats that are going to get to vote? Is it going to be all of the state of Illinois? And who are both parties going to be able to run for this open, technically open Senate seat?
But the question is, who's going to pay for this $50 million election that, in a recession, right? They don't have the money.
Yeah.
Mm. But contrast this with the way David Paterson is handling the one in New York, where, there are a lot of names surfacing. We know he's maneuvering for some political gain, but he's doing it in such a way that people are saying, this is just politics as usual, which is fine.
That's right.
But in the other way, as this guy went out there and said, look, I want to be at this room at this hour with this in my pocket, and you guys can come get me if you want. And they came, got him.
Ghetto.
Well, didn't the nanny Fran Drescher say that she wanted the Senate seat in New York also?
Yeah, she wants Jay Leno's job too, but that's not
that makes my tummy hurt.
She wants your job. She wants your job, Jimmy. She wants Jimmy's job.
Let me just jump in.
No, she doesn't.
Can I just jump in for a second to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Lester Spence, and Arsalan Iftikhar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Now, president-elect, pretty soon he's going to be president, and he's planning to maybe use all three of his names when he gets sworn in. That makes sense to me. I mean, he is a junior, and say what you want, but when you're a junior, you really respect your father's name. Besides that, those are names he was born with.
That's right.
I'm saying, we got some tape, Michelle, right?
Well, yeah, he joked about this earlier this year at the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner in New York. It was in October. And it was actually kind of an interesting moment, because it was such, remember, right in the last month of the campaign, it got kind of nasty.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a rare moment of levity in the middle of those final weeks. But here's what he said.
Many of you know that I got my name, Barack, from my father. What you may not know is Barack is actually Swahili for Bat One. And I got my middle name from somebody who obviously didn't think I'd ever run for president. But in the spirit of full disclosure, there are a few October surprises you'll be finding out about in the coming weeks. First of all, my middle name, it's not what you think. It's actually Steve. That's right. Barack Steve Obama.
Obviously, he has better writers than D.L. Hughley. Thank you so much, Michelle, for that.
Yeah, that's about right.
Me personally, I can't see what the big deal is. L. Spence?
Man, I think it's deep. I mean, I still trip on this. It's like a month plus after Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Well, I mean,
it's not like his middle name is Pookie. I mean, what? he's not getting sworn in with a street name.
Yeah.
Like B-Dog.
Well,
I mean, what?
Well, no, I think it really, honestly, for Inauguration Day, I'm going to commemoratively change my name to Arsalan Hussein Iftikhar for the day. But honestly, I think it really speaks to the American dream. I mean, if you look at the history book of the presidents, it's like white, 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 white. And now you have, the 44th president is Barack Hussein Obama. I just think it's beautiful American poetic justice at its best.
You know, someone, that's enough of the flag waving, Arsalan. And you of all people to wave the flag and quote Cat Williams at the same time. The thing about it is that, to me, it's inconsistent. For 2 years, you didn't use the Hussein anywhere. On your website, in your literature, there was no Hussein.
Right.
One of the things they say is, well, all presidents signing with have been sworn in with their middle name. No, they have not. Some have, some haven't. So it's inconsistent.
Right.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Exactly. What about William Jefferson Clinton? That wasn't on his literature, but he used William Jefferson Clinton when he's sworn in.
It's a
ceremony.
Do
you wear a top hat and tails to work?
James Carter.
No, but the thing about it, Michelle, is that you avoid this name like the plague.
Because you're trying to get elected.
How do you say he avoided the name like the plague? Do you use your middle name every day? What's your middle name, Nick?
Samuel.
I've known you for 2 years and I didn't know your middle name was Samuel. So are you hiding it? What do you have to hide?
Nicholas Samuel Charles needs to put down the hater aid for a second here.
He just doesn't like his initials.
I think people put so much emotion in that name. You know, it's his middle name and, you know, it was his father's name. Please give that man his peace and let him do this the honorable way. If he wants to use his middle name, you know, let him do that. Because when I run for president, when they're swearing me, I'm going to be that dude. So, yeah, y'all just
what's your middle name?
That.
That you dude. Have a middle name. What's your middle
My
name?
My middle name is Bernard.
Nice.
I can understand why you don't use that one.
Ooh.
Okay. In other news from up under the bus, Joe the Plumber throwing his old buddy Senator Ooh. John McCain up under the bus. He's out shilling for his new book, which I'm pretty sure he put together at his local Kinko's. And he mentions how appalled he was sitting across the table or the bar from McCain as they were discussing his ideas for a bailout. We got some tape.
Yes, Joe the Plumber was on the Glenn Beck show earlier this week, and this is what he said.
You know, the bailout. When I was on the bus with him, I asked him a lot of questions about the bailout because most Americans did not want that to happen, yet he voted for it. And at the same time, he's talking about how he's going to make somebody famous if they even think about putting pork in the bill. Yes, I mean, we all know how much pork was in that $700 billion bailout package. And why did he vote for it? And I asked him pretty direct questions, and some of the answers you guys are going to receive, they appalled me. Absolutely. You know, I was angry. In fact, I wanted to get off the bus after I talked to him.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, where is he broadcasting from? He sounds like a steaming pile of Wurzelbacher clogging the septic tank of my critical mind. I can't stand it. I wish this cat would go away.
Yeah.
Yo, A-Train, what's up with that?
You know, asking Joe the Plumber about the bailout plan is like asking Larry the Cable Guy about intellectual property issues,
right,
you know, within cable conglomerates. He just needs to get her done and get out the way, because honestly, he had his 15 minutes and he's tired. He needs to go.
Joe
doesn't need any more press. He needs to, you know, he's trying to extend 15 minutes into half an hour and it's not going to work. But at the same time, the one thing he does point out in that conversation that makes sense to me is the whole idea that, you know, John McCain knew nothing about economics. He knew nothing about, you know, anything that was going on in the real world about the economy. And that's what tripped him up, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't answer simple questions about a bailout to a guy with a, you know, whatever grade of education he has, who thinks Sarah Palin is the real deal, right, then you didn't deserve to be president. So I agree with him on that point.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a really good point. L. Spence, what's up?
This is usually the type of thing that would happen with blacks, right? So you'd get somebody who just happens to be black and actually make them an expert, right? So somebody like John McWhorter, who technically is a linguist specialist, all of a sudden is talking about black politics or black economics or black health. I mean, this is actually the first time that I'm thinking about where you just have this normal white guy actually asked to be an expert on American economic and foreign policy. And for me, this moment is bittersweet, right? So the one time where we really, really need expertise is like we get somebody who's treated like a black pundit.
But yeah, let's be fair. John McWhorter has a PhD. Joe doesn't.
Well, no, but
he has a linguistics.
He's a linguist, right? So he doesn't talk about ebonics anymore. He talks about a range of issues that have nothing to do with being a linguist.
I think in America we have a very complicated relationship with authority. Who's allowed to tell us, you know, things?
Well, and
the only people who conferred on Joe any kind of authority or legitimacy was the media. And that's the sad thing, is that it wasn't anybody in authority actually picked Joe and said, you know, you the man. But it's the media that has conferred upon this kind of legitimacy where, you know, he is speaking for middle America and, you know, the white working class folks who are feeling the squeeze of the economy when he's not.
And gentlemen, let's also not forget that Joe the Plumber, his name is not Joe and he is not a plumber.
Okay, well, check this out. Now, your boy, tonight's show host, Jay Leno, he's planning to move his show to 10 o'clock. He could be unfunnier even earlier than ever, and I'm down with that, you know, insofar as, I'm not down with that because I have a lot of friends that write for television, and what this really is a cost-cutting measure save the network to having to pay writers and producers. Yo, do we have any Jay Leno fans up here?
Nope, not
Spence.
Me.
Spence.
Nope.
I'm not hating him. I like Jay Leno's gangster.
I look at it differently because there are some writers, some producers, some creative people being put out of work. You know, so this cat can be even unfunnier earlier. No, I don't want to hear that. Yo,
well, you know, I'm a Letterman fan. I'm a Letterman fan. My whole thing is, you know, I was hoping that Kevin Eubanks would start going back to playing jazz again and to get rid of that band. But yeah. You know, Jay Leno could do whatever he wants to do and be unfunny. I don't have to watch him, so I don't care.
Spence.
TV is going to a really interesting place, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Seriously.
It's called the toilet. A-Train. Yeah.
Well, I prefer Letterman as well, but Jay Leno is gangster. He's an OG.
You did not say gangster for Jay Leno.
Jay Leno, come on, he's paid his dues. Don't be it.
Pay his dues doing what?
Put your hater aid down,
OG.
Dog.
Pay his OG. Oh,
he's an OC. He's an old chin is what he is.
He's AC, old chin. Oh, come on.
Man, you know what? For me, this is just yet another side of the apocalypse. You've got Jimmy Fallon with his band, The Root, taking over for Conan O'Brien, and now this. I swear to you, these are the signs of the horsemen, my friends. And with that, I think that that's a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to thank you for coming to the shop, and I have to pass it back to Lady of the House, Michelle Martin.
Thank you, Jimmy. I didn't know that Jay Leno was associated with the end times. I didn't recall reading that in the good book, but I'll take your word for it, Jimmy. I'm sure you read that on a blog somewhere, so it must be true.
Right.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Lester Spence is an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. He joined us from member station WYPR in Baltimore. Nick Charles is a freelance editor. He joined us from our bureau in New York. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. And he joined us from our bureau in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you, Michelle.
Peace.
Yep, yep.